absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. It's that time of the week, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you hear that in the background. Yes, Game of Thrones night. We're going to be talking about the Game of Thrones. I happen to be one of those, I don't know what you call them, but an avid fan from the beginning. And if you've listened to any of my broadcasts, whether it's been on this show, The Master Plan, whether it's been on the FSP show, the FSP cruise show, I've always talked up for years the Game of Thrones. And I followed it from the beginning. This is the fifth season, the ninth episode. We're going to have to talk about it. Also going to be talking something about some. I'm going to cover almost a gamut of sports today, people. There's a lot of things going on. We got a lot of things packed up in this 1 hour of sports talk, or talk I should say. We're gonna talk about horse racing, talk about tennis, talk about NBA, talk about baseball, talk about the Game of Thrones, the episode that's gonna take place tonight. Got a lot to talk about. I am JT. This is going to be one of the most the most amount of subjects I've talked about in quite a while. Usually I've talked about one or two topics. I'm gonna fit this all in this hour. I'm telling you, we got a lot to talk about. And the number to call in if you want to talk about it, 347-637-3220. And I always say it twice, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the one and only JT. How's that? I changed it up a little bit on you, but that's okay. That's me. But you got a chat room sitting out there. If you want to lay your knowledge, a question, or make a comment in that chat room, you can also do that too. But without further ado, let's take a step back. Let's stop this music of the Game of Thrones and get down to business, because we got a lot to talk about and only an hour to do it. So without further ado, where do I want to start? I don't even know if I'd mentioned tennis, because I want to talk about tennis too. Okay. I also want to talk about tennis. So I don't know for where I want to start, because there's such a wide variety of topics. Let's talk about this first. He won the Kentucky Derby in impressive fashion. He won in the mud in Old Hilltop. That's what they called the Pimlico Racetrack in Baltimore, Maryland, which is the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. And I, in high anticipation and anticipation and excitement, thousands of people flocked to Belmont Park in hopes that for the first time in 78 years, and I'm talking about, 37 years, I'm sorry about that, 37 years. The last winner of the Triple Crown was in 1978, which was affirmed, that American Pharoah would be the next Triple Crown winner. He won the Preakness, if I'm not mistaken, by at least 10 lengths in the mud. And from what I saw in that, and I happen to be a racing fan, that I had all the most confidence that he would able to do it here. I remarked about someone, I remarked to someone about Thursday. I think I was on the job site and talked to a person that asked me if I was going to watch the Belmont or whatever. And I said yes. And I told her that at the Belmont, most horses that win the Belmont have to go to the front. and have to be a front-running horse, which American Pharoah is. Also told her that in a mile and a half, most horses, and the majority of horses, do not close on the front-running horse. So if you have an ideal horse that can sustain his stride, or can sustain his race from start to finish, you have a strong shot of winning the Belmont, which is a mile and a half, which is the longest of the three. First is the Kentucky Derby, which is a mile and a quarter. Second is the Preakness, which is a mile and 3/16. And then to round out the Triple Crown, to be a Triple Crown winner, you have to win the Belmont, which is a mile and a half. The total length of a track of Belmont Park. Belmont Park from start to finish is a mile and a half. Most tracks are either 7/8 or a mile track, and Belmont Park is a mile and a half. So one complete turn around that track is what this horse has to do. So from the start, American Pharoah went to the front. Quite naturally, he had some players that thought they wanted to hang with him, come at the top of the stretch. That was not the case, and he went winning by 5.5 lengths. Easy win, without a doubt. There he was parading about in the winner's circle, the world's greatest athlete, his muscles and veins bulging as if he were hooked up to some overheated generator about to explode. American Pharoah was sweating profusely under a fading sun, huffing and puffing and flaring his nostrils for dramatic effect after conquering, like I said, a mile and a half test of character and will that has broken so many lesser horses before him. This horse, Bay Colt, turned his head just to shoot a bloodshot glance from his left eye at the unruly admirers fighting to take his picture. Quite naturally, the cost of this horse, he's now a $20 million horse, and probably the price is going up. He started his Saturday, his Preakness Day, in an old barn with weary green-colored siding, hard by the Hempstead Turnpike, this is quite naturally in New York, and right across the street from Wendy's. He took his pre-race bath behind barn one with some oblivious motorists whizzing on by, honking at each other, accidentally stepped into the white bucket carrying the soapy water, and ultimately made the long walk toward the paddock and the monument to Secretariat, the ghost of all Triple Crown hopefuls that chase at the Belmont Stakes. When Victor Espinosa, who's a jockey, who has been at this place before Belmont, meaning trying to get to the Triple Crown twice before, took him out of the gate and into the early lead, just like that, suddenly, the 37 years long that had passed since a teenager, one wonder named Steve Carlton, guided a firm home, became a closed chapter in a wildly entertaining, if unfulfilling, book. Years after a firm beat Allendar in three epic confrontations to win the last Triple Crown before Saturday, Carlton was reminded that only five horses ran at the Belmont. And then his quote says, actually, there were really only two. And that's true. When Allendar and Affirm hooked up in the Belmont, the other three horses in that five horse race didn't count because it was just between those two. So, like I said, American Pharoah won by 5.5 lengths. And he was among 13 horses that had won the Kentucky Derby and Preakness since 1978, and 12 of them made it to the Belmont and failed to finish the job. War Emblem stumbled. The one I really liked this horse. I followed him in a lot of races, especially in the Arkansas Derby and the Rebel, if I'm not mistaken, was Smarty Jones. I really liked the Smarty Jones. I thought he had a real good shot when he came up in Belmont. But he got a bum ride from his jockey, and that's what killed him. The jockey screwed that race up. California Chrome was nicked out of the gate and beaten by a Preakness skipping opponent. And that's what some of these owners and trainers do. If you win the Kentucky Derby and you win the Preakness, some of all these owners and trainers that put their horses in the Belmont have skipped one of those races, either skipped the Kentucky Derby or skipped the Preakness. Very few of these horses that were in the race, if any, I think there was two or three others, if I'm not mistaken, were in the Kentucky Derby. But none of these horses, if I'm not mistaken, were in all three races except for American Pharoah. So that makes it even more monumental, because the fact is he went through all three races and all the shooters at him were second, third, and whatever. So if you're not first, you're last. So American Pharoah can strut that and say, you tried, but you didn't try enough. Let me put it that way. So American Pharoah is hoisted as the next Triple Crown, as the reigning Triple Crown winner, I should say. And where does he go next? Where does he, you know, and they're already talking about people. They're already talking about, is he going to complete the Grand Slam now? Now it's a Grand Slam since he won the Triple Crown. And in 1978, there was nothing that could be said of a Grand Slam. And when I'm talking about a Grand Slam, all right, I'm not talking about the Haskell, which runs in August and it's an over $1 million race. I'm not talking about the Travers, which is running Saratoga in the same month of August. I'm talking about, and it hadn't come to fruition in 1978 when the firm won the Triple Crown. And he's, like I said, he was the last one to win the Triple Crown. I'm talking about the Breeders' Cup. All right. Now, more likely he's going to be, as long as he's healthy, going to be entered into the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's a mile and a quarter. I don't exactly know where it's going to be run at. Maybe in I think it's Santa Anita, if I'm not mistaken. But now they're already talking about, can he win the Grand Slam? Because there was no Grand Slam or the potential of being a Grand Slam as there are as there is right now. Because of the creation of the Breeders' Cup, the richest day in racing. So now they're saying, is he going to get pointed to that? Well, and most Kentucky Derby winners, well, we haven't had a Triple Crown winner in 37 years, but a lot of the Kentucky Derby winners and the Preakness winners, if they've won both of them, or even if won one of them, have come to New Jersey to run in the Haskell, which is a more than $1 million race. I think it's $1.5 million, if I'm not mistaken now. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, I tell you right now, out of the two races that I would put American Pharoah in August, it would be the Haskell. Simple reason, it's more than $1 million race. The Monmouth Park Racetrack is a speed track where front runners can win a lot of races and win a lot of races because it's a speed track. American Pharoah can sustain his speed from start to finish versus the Travers, which is in Saratoga, which is a deeper track and a more tiring track for front runners. So I would think that the next stop for American Pharoah, if he takes a little break off in July, he comes back in August. The Haskell, if I'm not mistaken, the early part of August would be a good setup for him to get a prep race going into the fall, one or two races going into the fall, and that Haskell being one of them. And you know like hell that the powers that be at Monmouth Park are trying to get the Triple Crown winner there. That would be a crowning jewel for the park and later part of the summer, and the attendance will be absolutely crazy. Usually Haskell is about the 35 to 50,000 people anyway. I could see that very easily going way beyond that if you got the Triple Crown winner to come to New Jersey and run into Haskell. All right, let's move. Congratulations to American Pharoah, creating history of its own. 37 years, a lifetime for a few people, or quite a few people. Some people hadn't even seen a Triple Crown winner, witnessed it yesterday. And Victor Espinosa, the very good jockey who rode the horse ever since he came on the racing scene, did a very good job in putting his horse in the best position to win, and he did. All right, let's move on to the next thing I want to talk about is Serena Williams. I tell you, I went from horse racing, now I'm going to women's tennis. I'm covering it. I'm covering a lot here. I told you I was going to cover a lot. So let's go to women's tennis. Serena Williams. She's been to the French Open quite a few times. What else is new? And she wins the French Open for her 20th Grand Slam title. She had it, but let me put it this way. After going up by a set and two breaks in the French Open final, she double faulted away that lead. Then suddenly she trailed in the third set. Now, like I said, she trailed in the third set. So that means that the first two sets that she lost, I mean, the first two sets, they split. She won the first set. She lost the second set. And she trailed in the third set. And the tension thickened because Serena, being a sister, getting frustrated, let her, and I'll say it like this if I don't say it any other way, let her ghetto get the best of her. Because she was warned by the chair umpire for audible obscenity. She even felt the need to hit one shot left-handed. So she was feeling all of her blackness at the time. But when Williams played her best, no one is better. Putting aside a lingering illness, because she was sick, she had the flu. And that's got to be even more of a champion pedigree and the will to win in Serena, battling the flu and being able to get to the final, and then being able to come back from the last set she played and being down in the third set. Williams staved off Lucy Sarafova. Rova's upset bit to prevail and win the French Open. And like I said, for the 20th Grand Slam title of her career, 20th Grand Slam title. She now has three French Open trophies to go alongside six each from the U.S. Open and Australian Open and five from Wimbledon. She also became the first woman to win consecutive U.S. Open, Australian Open, and French Open titles since Monica Seles in 1991. And this is by far the most dramatic major title I've won. That's a quote from Serena Williams, who she told that to Mary Carrillo. I didn't even train yesterday. I've had the flu. It's just been a nightmare. Now, you got to believe. How many people, whether it's male or female, can play three sets of tennis, championship tennis? This is not just tennis. This is championship tennis. This is, you win, you win the trophy and you win the money that associated the trophy, or you win and you go home. And like I said, if you're not first, you're last. So how many people can play a match, a championship match of tennis, and win it with the flu? With the flu, and not even train the day before. So she, more or less, she went to her sick bed to the tennis court. That's what I'm saying. She went from the sick bed to the tennis court, and she won it. Testament of a champion. Daddy said that his daughters would be championship tennis players. A lot of people thought he was talking out of his butt. Guess what? Yeah, he was talking out of his butt, but his butt is talking loud now. So all I got to say is congrats to Serena Williams for a gut check win, and literally a gut check win, because I can believe that she gave up some of her gut after that win, having the flu. All right. So I went through horse racing, which you very rarely hear me talk about. I went through tennis, which you never, ever, for the most part, hear me talk about, to what I want to talk about now. I had baseball, basketball. I didn't want to talk about boxing. Oh, yes. What I have left is the Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the Game of Thrones. So let's talk about, but I'm going to leave the Game of Thrones to last. Let's talk about baseball. Huh? Let's talk about baseball. And one of my favorite baseball players, I happen to be a fan of the New York Mets. I know some people said, yeah, I know. That's all right. I'm still a fan. Regardless of how you feel, I'm still a fan. But I'm a huge fan of one of the bad boys in baseball. They call him A-Roy, A-Rod. They call whatever they call him. They call him the $20 million man, because that's what he's getting paid this year, $25 million or something like that. Alex Rodriguez is getting paid. And I happen to be a huge fan. If you've heard me talk on the FSP show, you heard me talk on the FSP crew show, and you also heard me talk on this show, Alex Rodriguez, whether you agreed with my thinking or not, I talked about him because I think he's a hell of a player. I understand that he did some things that put him in a bad light in baseball, and maybe it's in his within his peers, but at 40 years old, and I think he's going to be 41 at 39 years old. He's going to be 40 in about a month and a half. His birthday's in July. Alex Rodriguez is playing very well. Alex Rodriguez just passed Barry Bonds on the all-time RBI list. He hit his 1,997th RBI. He's soon very close to obtaining the 3,000 hit mark. He already broke, he's passed the Willie Mays in the home run category, in the most home runs. Where does he go from here? He's got 28 RBIs this year already. 28 RBIs. Let me see if I can get his statistics out here and let you know what I'm thinking about Alex Rodriguez. I'm going to take a break real quick. Then we're going to come back and talk about Mr. Rodriguez. Here we go.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts. Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we are back. We are back. And like I said, this is a guy, bad boy of baseball. People didn't expect him to do too much this season. And they thought he was coming back. They thought he was a lot of people thought he was washed up. I, being a big supporter, said that he was going to hit about 276, somewhere around that, 270, 276, somewhere in that vicinity, and hit 20 to 25 home runs. Some people said that was crazy. They didn't think that was going to happen. Well, right now, his statistics, he's hitting 283. He's got 11 home runs, 28 RBIs, and his on-base percentage is 384. Alex Rodriguez, I think, is well on his way to sustaining that batting average and hitting 20 to 25 home runs. This is only the beginning of June, so he may surpass what I'm talking about, especially in home runs. And this is a guy that has been lambasted throughout the press, deservedly so, because of the things he has done and lied about. But some of the things that I didn't agree with through baseball, persecuting as they did, in my opinion, and he had prevailed. The reason I thought he would come back and play well, because he had a year off to completely heal and to be able to play his brand of baseball and fine-tune any of the mistakes that he had been making, meaning on the field, not off the field. And I think he's more at peace with himself than he's ever been in his whole life. And that has a lot to do with age and maturity. You become, for lack of a better word, settled, and you be able to accept the things that you can control and accept the things that you can't. I have a caller in waiting on the line here. I'm going to bring him in. He's been sitting on patiently for the last few minutes. I want to bring him online and welcome him to the show. He's a rarity on this show lately. So welcome, Victor. How are you today?
Of course, I am the magnificent one. I feel great. Just waking up on the West Coast. I've been listening to you jabber-jaw and slither and slather all over Alex Rodriguez. Got a couple things I want to say, but I did watch the Cotto fight last night. I'm looking at it right now. So when you get to boxing, that other sport,
believe it or not, that's not one of the things I'm going to talk about. But since you did talk about boxing, we can. But I want to get your opinion on what I had said in more than one show, including your FSP show, which comes on at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on every Saturday. You to being the host, I'm being the co-host, and that is we're affiliated with DraftKings. Go to the website and click on a link to DraftKings where winners can win a shipload of money.
You know you want to curse. And not only is FSP show affiliated with DraftKings, but so is the Master Plan.
Yes.
The Extra Point, FSP Crew Show. They're all affiliated with DraftKings by way of spotonradios.com. Again, that's spotonradios.com. Just go there, check out our content, and click on one of the banners. Go to the site, play. Matter of fact, before I get to A-Rod, let me tell you about that. Remember yesterday when we went over MMA and MMA fights? All the main cards, all five or six fights on the main card, did not go to the judges. All of them were finishes.
Really?
They were either knockouts. Yes, they were either knockouts or – no, they were all knockouts, actually. There were no tapouts. Yeah, one tapout. One tapout. Everything else was a knockout, as I said. And when I created my my group of fighters, I came in first place out of 50 people that that were in that one group. So I'm very, very proud of that. It was a 50-50. Had I been in a group with more money involved, I could have got a lot more money. But it was I'll take the 50-50 win.
I don't blame you, man. A win is a win is a win, regardless of where you get it and how you get it. I hear you.
Exactly.
Congrats.
And that's how Alex Rodriguez is. You know, a win is a win is a win. Over the years, he has gone through a lot as far as his body and his professional appearance, meaning the way he's perceived in the eye of the public.
Right.
Now, he did lie, continue to lie, took roids, lied about that, and then lied that he didn't take them again. And this is the problem that he has leading into his latter stage of his career, mainly because at the end of this season, he's going to sue the New York Yankees because the Yankees have said they're not going to pay him the bonus that they promised him if he, you know, breaks the record, which he did. He did it like in the second week of the baseball season, I believe.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ, but you, I think you're wrong there. I understand what you're saying. I know that they said they're not going to play it, but it's in his contract, and you can best believe behind the scenes that's being fought. I can best believe that's being fought behind the scenes, and the Yankees really don't have a leg to stand on, in my opinion. So it's in the contract, and I think he's going to win that, but he's not going to air it. He's going to let his legal representation deal with it. He's just concentrating. And this is the one of the things I said, Victor, that I think he's in a place and a lot of people, whether male or female, when they get to a certain age, whether it's 40, 50, 60, or 70 or 80, get to a place where they're at peace with themselves and who they are and just be able to do what they can do and what they can't do, they can't do. And I think Alex is in that position right now. He knows he's done a lot of things that a lot of people didn't like, probably stepped on quite a few toes, burned a few bridges. And he's at a place. He's had a year to reflect on a lot of things, especially baseball being taken away from him. And I think he's at his place where he's just going to concentrate on just playing baseball and hitting, because he's DH. He doesn't play the field, and if he does, it's going to be in a rare circumstance. So I think he's at a place where he just concentrated on baseball, and whatever else happens, happens. He just wants to play baseball, and he appreciates it that much more. And he's such a talent, especially in the hitting department, that you're getting, I wouldn't say the old Rodriguez, but you're getting a Rodriguez a lot of people didn't expect.
Well, and that's another point I was going to make, is that he's doing this off of the juice, presumably.
Yes.
And
yes.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Bless you.
Thank you. And if he is doing this off of the juice, what could he have done off of the juice before? You know, I think A-Rod is a very, very talented baseball player. I really think that he has the ability to go down as one of the best in history. However, because of his issues over the past couple years, he's not going to. You know, he's now lumped in with the likes of Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, some of the greatest baseball players of our time, but because of their scandal and their lies, they're not going to receive the full credit that they deserve.
Which is BS.
Well, it is. I mean, matter of fact, speaking of DraftKings, I just went on DraftKings a little while ago and made my baseball lineups. for today. And mm-hmm. A-Rod on one site, which is DraftKings, I think he's like $3,200. And
okay.
on FanDuel, he's $3,300. Now, mind you, some of the top players are about $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you the disparity of how, you know, he's looked at, even though he's doing really well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that dollar values are coinciding with, you know, his issues, but because he's a DH, because he doesn't play the field, as you said, he can focus solely on hitting the ball, just like Big Poppy. You know, Poppy doesn't play the field unless they really, really need his bat, because he's a liability at first base. But when he's at the plate, he could be batting, what, 200, 220, but all he needs is that one big swing.
Yep.
That one big swing. And Alex can get you that one big swing as well as hit for average. So I think that's an interesting situation for K-Rod to go through. Very interesting. So I'll leave it at that. I just think A-Rod is a very good player in a very bad situation. But he created the situation.
All right. Now what's going to go to the, yeah, you know, we got time. We got plenty of time here. You know, I'll stay on a baseball subject because I had proposed a trade to you and then I recanted it and took it back. I'm thinking about the, re-energizing that trade. But in a different form. And I was hoping you would jump on here for the simple fact is that, and we've done this, we haven't done it in quite a while. Let me put it that way. But I wanted to do this, on air that the, people that are listening get an idea of what goes on in trade negotiations.
Oh my
so
God.
If you don't mind, I would like to propose a trade
negotiate.
And negotiate on the air. Something different. Something different. We haven't done this in a long, long time. But I would like to attempt to bring about a trade and see if we can maybe agree upon something. This is just an attempt to, see if I can, win you over with a trade or you can win me over with a counter. So I'm looking at your lineup, pitchers and everyday players. And like I said to you on a text, I see at least three or four players on your team that you can flush down the toilet that are really not doing you as much as they should be doing for you. But it's your roster and it's your team. You run it as you see fit.
And
I'm willing to.
Season.
That's true. But it's how many games are being played already? It's 162 game season.
And 50 some odd.
Okay, so over 40 games have been played. So over a quarter of the season is gone already. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm looking at here is that A.J. Pollock. I'm looking at A.J. Pollock as a possible member of
who
my
I drafted.
Excuse me?
Who I drafted.
Yeah, yes, I'm not saying you didn't. You drafted on your team and I'm looking to get it passed over to my team. So I'm looking at AJ Pollock as a possible trading point to move to my team. Now I gave you Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun's been playing well. I gave you Carlos Gonzalez. You said it's a long season, and Carlos Gonzalez, he's healthy, so it's just a matter of him getting himself put back together again. And I also
he
gave
also
you
got Bryce Harper from me. Also
wait a minute.
Don't make it seem like it.
No. Look, can I finish? Can I finish? Okay, thank you. I also gave you Yasiel Puig, who came back off
of the. You didn't give him to me. You dropped him, and
I dropped him.
And I was able to pick him up.
Yeah, well, I gave you Yasiel Puig because I dropped him.
Anybody could have got him, though. Anybody could have got him.
And I also gave you Alfredo Steinmann, the Detroit pitcher, who has been inconsistent. Let me put it. I'll admit.
You gave me a busted up David Wright.
Listen to me.
When he's coming back.
Listen to me. When I gave him to you, he was on his way back to playing. It's not like I knew he was like days away from coming back to play. Am I right about that?
That is right.
Okay, so I told you in the text, I can't control somebody, a player's health. Who knew that he had spinal stenosis? I didn't. I sure didn't. I never try to play a player if I know he's got an illness, and I'm not that type of trader. Never have been. Anyway, I gave you some viable players. Yeah, true. You gave me one player in return, which was Bryce Harper. Okay. I'm looking to get AJ Pollock, and I'm willing to give up Gio Gonzalez and Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp had a monster game yesterday. That could be his breakout. That could be his breakout game. It only takes one game for some of these players to break out and finally get on a roll. Wait a minute. You could have had Matt Kemp over a week ago when I proposed a trade about the end of May, and you refused it. And so I tried to give you Matt Kemp earlier, and you refused it. You said thought he was a garbage, and he would have given you. Yes,
that.
You did. Sure, you
I
did.
Say it was garbage. No, I didn't.
Well,
however, why did you take Grilly out of the deal?
Yeah, you want Grilly? I'll give you Grilly.
Well, here's what I want. You want Pollock? I'm going to tell you what I want. You're not going to give me what you want to give me. I want Grilly. I want your second best pitcher. And
that's not happening. That's not happening.
You're getting Pollock.
Wait a minute. You're taking a pitcher, two pitchers from me, and you give me an outfielder. How is that possibly an even trade? How is that possibly an even trade? You're taking one of my best pitchers and a closer for an outfielder.
Pollock. Do you want Pollock to go with Bryce Harper? Pretty much what you're doing is you're trying to build your team off the team I drafted because you can't draft. I understand that. That's what happens when you deal with me. So here's what's going to happen. Either you're going to give me what I want, or we're not going to deal.
Okay, fine. No problem. You know what? I got something for you. I have something for you, and I'm going to bring him in right now. Sure. What's up, Mikal?
Oh,
no, how you doing, my man?
Oh, Lord. Why'd you bring Mikal?
What's up, Slam?
Oh,
what's up?
God.
What's up?
Oh,
yeah, I hit a little emperor over here trying to fake like he making moves.
Hey,
yeah. I'm here on Jerry's show, so I'm getting muted by the little emperor or whatnot.
Oh, really? Jerry,
yes. Yes.
Just make sure this does not go over the time so we can get it on spot on.
Not a problem. Not a problem. You know, I know my man Macau came on in, and I'm welcoming you to the show, my brother. I know you came on in for a reason, not just to talk to me, and I appreciate it if he came just to talk to me. I think you may have come here just to talk about boxing, but I could be mistaken. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, I come to talk to you about boxing, but I never caught up with you and talked to you about Golden State and the LeBron Ayers.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. Let me talk about this subject first.
Can I ask you a question? I thought we were negotiating. You just kicked me to the curb like there's nothing.
Wait a minute. There was no negotiation. You had told me either it's going to be this way or no way. So I kind of like said, okay.
That's how negotiations go.
No, negotiations don't go.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Thank you. You just told me to go pound sand. This is the way it's going to be, or you can go pound sand. And I figured, well, that's it. I'll just move on because there's no good negotiating.
Go ahead. You know I'm gonna get you back, right?
But that's okay. It was the perfect segue. What can I tell you? He came in at the same perfect time. What can I tell you? Anyway, since we're going to talk about the NBA, and I'm glad we got both of you guys on it because I think Victor was looking for Cleveland to win, and I know I was looking for.
Being okay. We're Golden State fans.
Okay. Well, let me get your take on not you, Victor. I'm gonna go to your cousin first, Macau. Give me your take, and then I'll go to Victor on the first game and what you're gonna see in the second game, which is taking place tonight between the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers. Talk to me, Macau.
Well, I kind of got like a long position.
Go ahead.
I really thought that. City of Cleveland, Ohio, is some of the most disrespectful people on this planet.
Oh, so, why so?
I really don't like it. No, they had the greatest player on the planet.
Right.
Dude decided to leave.
Right. Right.
Then they start burning his jerseys and whatnot.
Right.
And then the owner just came out and had like this crazy statement or whatever.
Hissy fit.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? LeBron leaves, gets his championships, gets his swag, you know what I'm saying, and decides to go back. I thought it was a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I liked the move to Miami. I didn't like the move back to Cleveland. So
right.
I want to see them go down. Burn.
Oh.
Burn, oh. LeBron. Burn.
Ooh.
Go
Ooh.
Down. Go down. All the way down. I didn't
Ouch.
Like the move. I didn't like it at all. I don't like how these media types is how they were acting before LeBron left, and I definitely don't like the way they acted after LeBron came back. And to me, honestly, Jerry, now I ain't even gonna go that far. I'm gonna say now I didn't say it enough, but I am definitely rooting for Golden State not only because they have a better team. I like Kerr. You know what I'm saying? I like the Splash Brothers. I like that whole chemistry they got going on. They got to win this. They got to take this, and I hope they bring the broom out. I really do. Take them and burn them. Burn them.
Victor.
Well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, Jerry. You know, I asked the question: Can Dellavedova, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, Mozgov, and Thompson ride the back on the back of LBJ and win a championship? And we talked about it. You said that you would be surprised if they got one game. And they did what I suggested they would do before, which is Stephon Curry developed the Reggie Miller. And if you didn't listen yesterday, folks, the Reggie Miller is you're going to pump fake, get the guy in the air, and lean into him and take a shot to get to the free throw line. And that's something that Stephon started to do in the second half of the game. They passed up the long range shot and used a lot of high pick and roll to get Bogut to the bucket. And they all started penetrating. And they still hit their outside shots. Golden State did, but they incorporated the pick and roll in order to get to the bucket. Now, here's the dangerous thing. Kyrie Irving and LeBron James kept them in that game. Kyrie Irving left. It became ISO all day. Give the ball to LeBron, stand around, and see what happens. J.R. Smith took, what, 4 or 5 shots the entire game. Hit his first 2. He didn't touch the ball for another 30, 34 real-time minutes. That's kind of bad because the kid, he's a streaky shooter. He is a streaky shooter. And if he's on, he's on. If he's off, he's off. Now, when you look at Golden State, as I said, they brought in Iguodala and Draymond Green, and they put Bogut in there, substituted Ferris Azili in there as well. Maurice Spate came in and gave him a lift. And Barbosa, we talked about it, as I said yesterday, Jerry, the bench of Golden State outplayed the starters of Cleveland. So today, what do I expect to happen? I expect for LeBron James to try and get everybody else involved so that they can find a rhythm. But I think Golden State comes out, and this game doesn't go to overtime. I honestly think that this game ends in regulation with a 10-point margin of victory for Golden State or better. Only because I don't think that, you know, even though they got out-rebound, because Mozgov and Thomas, they were killing it. They were killing it on the boards. But I don't think that's going to happen this game. I think it's going to be more of a balanced board game on both sides, and that's going to be the difference. Cleveland's not going to get those second chances to shoot like they did. They had like 3 or 4 or 5 chances to shoot off of one possession. So I think that's going to be the difference, and I think Golden State wins handily.
Yeah, average margin of victory for Golden State during the season was 10 points. And also the same average margin of victory for Golden State at home was about 10 points. So Golden State, a lot of people think they're just an offensive team. We talked about this yesterday, Victor, that they're just an offensive team. They limit their opponent on average just short of 100 points a game. And that's saying that they score about 110 points and their opponent scores just short of 100 points. They're one of the better defensive teams, believe it or not, people, in the NBA. And I know it's Mark Jackson, and he put a lot of players in place or helped a lot of players the time that he was in Golden State. But just like Tony Dungy, when he was with Tampa Bay, he only got him to a certain point. Then John Gruden took him over the top. Just like Mark Jackson, I think that he only could get him to a certain point. And there are some coaches like that. And no disrespect for Mark Jackson or Tony Dungy. There are some coaches that just in a situation with whatever team that can only take that team but so far. And a change and a different mindset of the coaching staff and a different perspective of the coaching staff and the way they relate to the players on a different level than the prior coach can get that team to the next level. And quite naturally, they got Golden State with Steve Kerr taking over to a where they're at now, which is, in my opinion, the best team in the NBA and with the best player in the NBA as we speak. A lot of people say LeBron's still the best player in the NBA. But this year, I think it's not close. I think Stephon Curry proved to a lot of people that he's the best player in the NBA this year. And with the type of team they have on the bench and on the court, that the whole team, and I said this earlier before, that the whole team, it's a better team than what LeBron has, where he has LeBron, who's a consistent. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love have been consistent, but they're not here. They got injured along the way. So they have a lot of pieces, like, and you talked about it, Victor. J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, and the other supporting cast that are inconsistent. And you can't go 1 against 10 or 1 against 8. That's very difficult when you got guys that can come off the bench and do the same thing that the guys on start do. Now, one thing that you guys didn't point out, and I'm going to point out, and I'm going to be watching for it because I don't trust this guy, and he's done it in more than one series, and I'm see if he's going to try to do it in this series. I'm talking about that Dellavedova dude that just by chance has taken guys out in Atlanta, and I think he did it also in the prior series Cleveland played, rolling up on people. And I'm going to see if it's a what a lot of people are saying, just a coincidence, or in my opinion, it's a trend, and the guy has a knack for trying to take out players to be able to get advantage for his team. Anyway, we got 3 minutes left in the show, and I can't believe, but I'm covering everything I said I was going to cover. This is probably a first in like the last 2 or 3 months, but the last thing I wanted to cover with less than 3 minutes in the show is one of my favorite shows. And I'm so glad both of you guys are on here because I've been talking to Mikal about this show for years. It's episode 9, season 5. It's going to be the Dance of Dragons, which I'm talking about the Game of Thrones. If anybody watched it last week when it was when winter came, and Jon Snow and the Wildlings were involved in trying to get their butts out of Hardhome because the walkers came out of the winter. Week 9 in the Game of Thrones, somebody or some bodies is going down tonight. It's one of the highly anticipated episodes tonight. Talk to me, Mikal, talk to me.
Man, it's got to be criminal that this is going to be the last season, Slime. I'm serious. It's so criminal. I'm just like, yo, there's just so much more that they could tell with this.
It's not the last season.
Huh?
Not the last season. They're already a casting call for season 6. This is not the last season.
They said it was the last season, though.
Don't believe that.
Oh, man, see, you can't do that to me. But anyway, man, this show is the best.
Definitely yes.
The best. I really like the politics that's going on with the joint. And you, my favorite character is definitely Littlefinger. He is
devious.
A beast.
Devious.
He is a beast on there. Beast.
Yes.
Duplicitous, smooth, calculating, just everything, man. He just give it to you on that joint. I like Jon Snow. Of course, you got to have a little hero, Jon. Khaleesi is, yeah, I like Khaleesi, but she getting a little indecisive. She need to go ahead and let Slim go ahead and be her bodyguard because, you know, he love her. Man, that show is just, it's all of it. We sit and watch the joint. The whole house stop and watch that joint now.
Your thoughts, Victor, or do you watch it?
You know I watch Game of Thrones. Come on now. I love this show. You know, ever since you got hooked on it like some drug or something like that.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. I you know what? Littlefinger is a very good character. I hate him for the devious things that he does. I prefer Tyrion because Tyrion is, you know, he straight up and tells you the truth, and he'll play the game, but he's gonna do it the way he wants to do it. He's gonna be straight up and honest with you about it. And he's somewhat emotional, but his character is one of the ones that I'm going to miss, you know, when I go where I go, because I'm not going to be able to see all this stuff. Jon Snow, you know, I hope they don't follow the book, because if they follow the books, Jon is going to die at some point. But the fact that Sansa now knows that her two brothers may or may not be dead, and that Jon is alive and he's part of the watch, you know, her face lit up. But I'm afraid that old boy's gonna try to skin her and hurt her some way before she gets a chance to really see her brothers. And the fact that Aya is about to take on a whole new character, you know, that's interesting as well. I mean, the last couple episodes have brought all the stories together, and seeing those White Walkers come, and like they're very close. They are very close to, you know, the wall. If they're, you know, if they're going to get to that village, which isn't that far away from the wall, the war is coming. Now, can Tyrion convince old girl to you know, use those dragons to help defend? I don't know. But I love the fact that Cersei's getting what she deserves. I hope Cersei just gets exposed and, you know, everything comes out that Jaime is the father of all her children and all that other mess. But I don't know. I haven't read the books. But from what I hear, it's like maybe 3 or 4 seasons left if they sign up for them. So I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I highly anticipated. You saw what happened last season with the 9th episode, and the season before that, the 9th episode. So the tradition is set. The 9th episode, somebody's going down or some bodies are going down. It's just a matter of who it's going to be. So this is probably going to be one of the most watched episodes in the Game of Thrones, because of what, like you said, Victor, has been taking place over the last few episodes and bringing things together. And we'll wait and see. I'm anxious to see it. I'm so glad you guys are on board watching the Game of Thrones, because I've been there since the beginning, and it's every season has gotten better from the last. And this season wasn't lacking. And we've got two episodes left. Anyway, I want to thank Victor for joining me today. And I also want to thank his cousin. It just happened, hell of a coincidence that both of them decided to come and join me this fine Sunday morning. And I'm going to give them the opportunity, before we get out of here, to put in any kind of parting shots or whatever they want to say before we get out of here and enjoy the rest of this fine Sunday. Talk to me, Victor, and then Mikal.
Only thing I can say is this game between Golden State, or these series between Golden State and Cleveland, should be entertaining. It should give life to the jump shooter, because forever, you know, the NBA has said, let's get away from above the rim. Let's get back to the perimeter shooting, to, you know, what basketball was before. But so many critics are now saying, well, you can't do that. You can't win with that anymore. But, you know, Golden State's proving that you can, which is a good thing. Other than that, JT, don't hit me up with any texts or any trades, since you're going to treat me like this on the show. It's okay. You're going to show out and show off, but I understand. And everybody, remember, go to spotonradios.com. and check out all these shows and click on that DraftKings logo, whether it's basketball, baseball, soccer, golf, whatever it is. Go ahead and join and do what you need to do to win some money. As Jerry would like to say, DraftKings, where you can make a ship load of money. He doesn't pop the P, though. He says he tries to make it sound like something else. But that's all I got for you, JT.
Talk to me, Mikal.
Oh, you finally hooked up with DraftKings, huh? Wow. Anyway, wanted to say, There was a scene in Game of Thrones, Jerry, and I feel so bad that I didn't bring it up. He had more time to talk about. There was a scene in Game of Thrones that, you know, set the social media on fire. It was talking about the scene with Sansa and the guy on their wedding night. And they were saying that it was like, you know, a rape scene, you know? And I just could not see where it was rape. I mean, maybe I was missing something. I mean, I went back and watched it like 3 or 4 times. I just didn't get it.
Oh, but, no. He took that.
He turned her around. I hate to be graphic like this, but he turned her around, ripped her clothes, and they just showed her face, so they knew what the heck was going on.
Yeah, but that was his wife. That was his wife. There was no said. There was no like fighting. There was none of that.
This can go another hour, Jerry. I can tell you.
Yeah, I know. We could go another hour with that. I mean, I've had extensive conversations with a whole lot of people about that. And, like, it took me, like, 45 minutes to an hour to convince them that it wasn't, because it really wasn't. I didn't see it.
What you're saying is this. You're saying that because they were married, regardless of what type of sexual encounter they had, it should be considered rape. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's too surface. That's just the beginning, right?
Okay. Okay.
The other part was she didn't say no. She knew it had to happen. You know what I mean? You didn't see her, like, you know, fighting to escape or get away. She was making to get away and stuff like that that got thwarted. But, however, In that intimate moment, she knew she had to take it. She knew it. It was nothing else she could do. She knew she was going to get killed or whatever, and she went willingly into the marriage. She knew she had to, because Littlefinger put her there, because he had no other way to protect her. And even with the what's his name, Stannis. He's coming in. He's gonna take over that joint, and then she's gonna wind up being the warden of the North. See, I just didn't see it. I didn't see it. Now in the book, he raped a whole lot of people, but he didn't rape her, right? He did things to her, but he didn't rape her in the book. He was way more calculating in the book. I think they dressed it up on HBO a whole lot better than what it was in the book, from what I read. It was, like, really graphic and really despicable.
Okay.
But I just didn't get where it was. I didn't see it was rape. I really didn't see it. I saw him take it. You're right. He took it. You know what I'm saying? And he was a monster about it, making Slim box the joint or whatever. But I didn't see rape.
Okay, well that was how it was supposed to be portrayed, and a lot of people took offense to it because of that.
Yeah.
You have to think about this, and it's, I think this was in either the first season or second season. I can't recall because it's been a while. They didn't take offense to when Daenerys got waylaid by that prince. Or the king, or whatever he was, when her brother gave in exchange for his army, gave his sister to that and I forget his name, that king, that she's a queen of the people. She's a queen of now, but most of them are been passed away. No one took offense to that, and that was more graphic than what took place with Sansa. So. It is what it is. I appreciate you guys, both you guys' input. And with that, we'll be tuning in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We may have, depending on the circumstances, a new NBA championship or one to be crowned a week from today. Who knows? 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in next week, We're talking about the world of sports or whatever comes on. Maybe even Games of Thrones. The last episode is going to be next week. So we may be even talking about that, how crazy the ninth episode was. I'm pretty sure that that may be on my agenda. With that being said, since I started with the Thrones, since I ended with the Thrones, I'm going to end this show with the Thrones. And see you next week. Thanks, guys. We're out of here.